starting out tonight, I just kind of wanted to take a short step back and kind of talk about why we have this time that we're stepping into right now. If you've been going to church for a while, it's just normal to you that we kind of open the Bible usually and we start talking about it. And but the point of it is we teach the scriptures because we believe that through the power of the Spirit, they will change us and form us as a community of Jesus followers more than really anything. And we desire to live under the authority of the scriptures and to kind of, as a family, sit under that together and let it guide our lives. So if you're new to church or Valley Church and new to Jesus, this gathering is kind of like a football huddle of sorts. So we want to get close. We want to get on the same page about what our game plan is. And then we break out into the world to be Jesus's followers out in our community, our city, and so on. So part of getting on that same page is kind of aligning ourselves under this, the scriptures. And sometimes that involves, and I'd say, we'll say usually it will involve going through one of the books in the Bible kind of section by section. And that's what we've been doing. We've been going through the book of Matthew, but we're going to take a short pause and do something different where we're going to kind of study a concept from the Bible and kind of trace its theme throughout. And so that will be kind of the next main thing that we do is to talk about what are called spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. And the purpose of these kinds of series that we're going to do, we did one on community a little while ago as we kind of were heading into a season where we're starting to form some community groups. We want to kind of get in alignment and be on the same page about what we as a family are working on, what we're doing together and to help us grow, to help us become more like Jesus. So spiritual disciplines sounds like a old-fashioned phrase, or spiritual practices people use today. Essentially, these are just the things that we do to help us become like Jesus. There's a guy named Dallas Willard who's kind of an expert on this spiritual formation, how do we become like Jesus? And he writes this: "My central claim is that we can become like Christ by doing one thing, by following him in the overall style of life he chose for himself. If we have faith in Christ, we must believe that he knew how to live. We can, through faith and grace, become like Christ by practicing the types of activities he engaged in, by arranging our whole lives around the activities he himself practiced, in order to remain constantly at home in the fellowship of the Father." So, depending on who, like what list you look at, the names of the activities will kind of vary on like a list of all spiritual disciplines, but some of the most common ones would be things like solitude and silence, so getting away and getting quiet to be with the Lord, fasting, something called Sabbath, which is what we're going to start talking about tonight, or rest. One is called simplicity or simple living, or studying and meditating on the scriptures, prayer, worship, fellowship. All those are kind of the standard things that Christians do to help us become more like Jesus. But one of the most important things we could say about all of them is that these practices or the disciplines are not the end goal in and of themselves. The point of praying or reading the Bible or kind of getting alone and getting quiet isn't just because that's what Christians do. It's because the point is that they will train us to become like Jesus, and they provide us the space to be with God. So anytime we train, like if it's some type of physical training, you train so that you can do something that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. So if you want to like go get strong and like lift weights, it's usually not because you just think lifting weights is fun. It's because you want to be better at your sport or better at your job or something like that. And this is very similar. We do these spiritual practices or the disciplines to train us to become more like Jesus and to enable us to be more like him. So the second part of this is that we, as a church family, want to practice these things together. Now, this is a little bit of a hobby horse of mine, and maybe it's your experience is different, but I found in my Christian experience that we would come and like worship together and hear from the Bible together, but as far as what you did kind of in the other 6 days of your week, when it comes to like how you follow Jesus and what kind of rhythms and habits you had, it was kind of like every man for himself. And you could have really kind of differing options of like what, like this person, they read the Bible every morning and that's it. Or this person, they go on like prayer walks, they do their own sort of thing. And so what I want to do is to kind of align ourselves together and to say, we as a family are going to work on this thing in this time and then another spiritual discipline in this season. Many of the aspects of our following Jesus are personal, but I don't know that they're meant to be private. So if you wanted to follow Jesus when he was on the earth, you would walk around with him, but you'd be with the other people that were also following him. So you would learn how to be his disciple or his student along with other people. And I think sometimes we miss out on what that brings if we kind of do our own thing throughout the week. And so we just kind of want to align ourselves and work on the same thing together as a church family. So communities are starting this week. I think some people might have met this last week, but our official start is this last week of February. If you have signed up, hopefully you have been contacted by your group leader. If you haven't, please let us know. And if you want to join one, if you haven't signed up yet, but you want to be a part of one, it's not too late. You could, ideally, you'd probably just let Mark know. Mark is kind of our pastor over our communities, and he can help you find a place to be. After, I don't want to say after this week, but really soon, the process, kind of the onboarding process to join a community will be a little bit longer, and that we're going to kind of have our normal be that you go through a class where you kind of learn, like, who are we as Valley Church and why is community important to us? And it's going to kind of help lay out the importance of why we do community and why we want you to commit at a really high level. You guys, if you want to be kind of grandfathered in before that process happens, you should probably try to join one now. Does that make sense? Okay, let me take a drink of water. Our first practice that we're going to talk about is Sabbath. And the reason for that, there are two. One, I think our culture has kind of forced our hand. I think we are busier and more tired than ever. I'm not saying that we're more tired than people that have come before us. I just know right now, in this moment, if I asked each and every one of you kind of individually, busy and tired would probably be a couple words that come out of your mouth about how you are doing. And I would agree for myself. The second reason is that I think Sabbath is a discipline that just takes time to learn how to do. It's kind of a skill to get yourself to the spot where you know how to do it every week and to have it kind of do what it's supposed to do. So the goal tonight is really just to get us to start thinking about what Sabbath is and why it might be an important thing for us to start working on. It's not going to be that much longer, a short overview of what it is, and then I'm going to kind of lay out some reasons why maybe you've thought about it but have some reservations, or like, why do we need to do that, and then also some kind of risks about avoiding Sabbath and what might happen if we choose to not participate in that. And then next week, we'll dig into the scriptures way more, and we're going to kind of see what Sabbath was and the story of the Bible and how that might affect how we do it today. And then in the third week, so it's going to be 3 weeks, in the last week, we'll just have a conversation about what Sabbath looks like in my life and what it might look like in yours. So, what is Sabbath? I'm just realizing now, if you're new to church, you're like, what? What is he saying? What word is that? So, it comes from this Hebrew word, Shabbat, which means to cease or stop or rest. So, in the story of the Bible, God's people, they had this day. It was called the Sabbath day. And it was a 24-hour period dedicated to stopping your work or to ceasing, to rest, and to delight in God and his world that he's given us. So without getting ahead of ourselves, we're going to dig into this much more next week. The roots of Sabbath go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, to the creation story, where God worked or created for 6 days, and then it says on the seventh day, he stopped and rested, or he Sabbathed. God set apart that seventh day. The Bible sometimes says he made it holy, and that just means he made it really special. He set it apart, and then he asked his people to do like he did, and to, on the seventh day, to stop their work, to rest, and to delight in God. And today, the concept is pretty much the same. A 24-hour day or period where we stop, rest, and delight. Now, I don't know where you are with this, if Sabbath is something that you've just heard about, not really interested in, maybe you do it every single week, maybe you do parts of it. It is still very much alive today, probably not so much in the United States of America, but it is in Israel. If you would go to Jerusalem, my wife and I have been there at Friday, so the traditional Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And if you're there in the hours leading up to that, there's a hustle and bustle not unlike Christmas Eve, where people are out and they are like getting ready for Sabbath. So they're doing their shopping, they're prepping everything, their life, so that they can do nothing on Saturday. Not do nothing, it's so that they can stop working and then rest and do wonderful, delightful things on their Sabbath day. So when sundown hits on Friday, it becomes a little bit of a ghost town. People are like in their homes, they're with their family. It's crazy. And I think there used to be kind of some whispers of that in our country still, depending on where you lived in the country and how long ago, but like as recent as maybe 10, 20 years ago, you guys might remember that places used to be closed on Sundays and you would go out and there'd be a lot fewer businesses open because they were honoring what we would call the Lord's Day or Sunday. But the concept was similar, that there was a day to rest, to stop, to slow down, and that just barely exists anymore today. So that's what Sabbath is. And again, we're going to dig into a lot more next week, but the idea is that you stop. You stop working, not just your job, but your chores, your errands, homework. We stop trying to be productive or successful or efficient. We stop trying to check things off our lists and we just rest. Which sounds self-explanatory, but it's not just like sleeping or laying down, that's a great Sabbath activity. It's also doing life-giving things that recharge you. And sometimes, at least for me, when life is busy, hectic, or stressful, I do things that sound restful, but they're actually not restful. And so it's kind of like cheap rest. And so we kind of learn, the part of Sabbathing is learning what actually recharges you and what actually helps you rest. And part of that is the third part, which is to delight, is to do things that are worshipful to the Lord. And I don't mean just like singing worship songs, but like being outside and like worshiping God through just being in nature or doing activities that you just think are a blast that cause you to reflect back and tell God how good he is. So stop, rest, delight. Sounds good, doesn't it? But maybe to you, a full 24 hours every week, week after week, no work at all, no chores, no to-do lists, maybe you feel like that's just not realistic or not necessary or impractical. Maybe it sounds like painfully boring to you to do that. We have a lot of kind of potential reasons why we might not participate in this practice. We have a culture that pulls us in the opposite direction. And so I just kind of want to really quickly address maybe some of the more common reasons why we might not have Sabbath. And so that you, if you're sitting here and you're feeling these things, you can just know, like, I understand, I'm with you if you have some reservations. So we just want to get them out in the air. The first one, as people that are not in ancient Israel, we generally don't know what to do with these ancient laws in the Bible. And so, do we obey them? Do we not obey them? Do we have to? What about the other 613 laws in the Bible? Like, why would we follow this one and not that one? I'll talk a little bit about that later. But it's interesting that of the Ten Commandments, which keeping the Sabbath is one of them, we generally look kindly upon the other nine, like not murdering and not stealing your neighbor's wife and whatnot. Why not this one? Why not Sabbath? Depending on your church or your church background or spiritual background, you might have like an aversion to anything that could feel or seem legalistic. Maybe like setting aside a literal 24 hours and having like a list of things that you can't do just like makes you feel wrong and you don't like it. And I think that kind of misses the spirit of the Sabbath. However, it makes sense. You don't want to feel like boxed in by what you can or can't do. And we don't want you to feel that way either. Depending on your life schedule, you might feel like you just don't have time to take a full day off of everything. And this is probably many, many of us in here. It's not that the rest doesn't sound nice. It's that you can't imagine doing all that you need to do to make your life work and your world run, like your job, your errands, your homework, your chores, your to-do lists. You can't imagine just getting it all done in 6 days. Maybe you feel like you're packing in like a full 7 days every week, and you're like, how could I set aside a day to just rest? We have days off, but we usually use those days to think about getting all of our other stuff done that's not our job. And so how do we make sense of that? Others of us might theoretically have time to take a Sabbath, but we are just too distracted. Distracted by our phones, work, emails, and phone calls, even on our days off, Netflix and Disney Plus, house projects, the never-ending to-do list of house chores, laundry, dishes, cleaning. It's not that we couldn't make the time to stop and rest and delight. It's that we just can't seem to slow ourselves down and be okay with the quiet. We feel antsy and restless. You feel like if you're not accomplishing something that you're being lazy. And this is probably just as prevalent as the reason before of feeling busy, is many of us don't want to slow down. Maybe you were taught and kind of raised not to be idle and to like keep going. Maybe you've heard the phrase, or you're of the mindset that the devil never takes a day off, so why should I? Generally, we don't want to mimic what the devil does, just FYI. Here's some things that, in my experience, can happen if we choose not to take some steps towards practicing this discipline. I think it can, over time, if you choose not to participate in Sabbath, cultivate a deficiency in trusting God to provide for you, or in trusting that God is going to take care of the world, whether or not you are working. Part of the point of Sabbath is to train your soul to know that it's God who orders and sustains our world, and God who ultimately takes care of you. And if we opt out of taking a day, like God's people have done for thousands of years, if we opt out of a day that is about letting that fact sink in, I think it's pretty easy to trick ourselves into thinking that we are the ones providing for ourselves. And we might not say those words out loud, we might not say them to ourselves, but I think it can be this undercurrent going on in our lives that we are the ones kind of making it work. And there's something about putting down your phone, your computer, your tools, your to-do list, whatever it is you do to earn money or to accomplish the things that you need to do in life, to put them down even when you're not done yet, and deciding to trust God that he's going to provide for you and that your world will spin on if the yard work isn't done, if there's unchecked items on the to-do list, if there's laundry and dishes to do. The next thing, it can, by choosing not to participate in Sabbath, I think that over time it can cultivate like an inability to slow down and be quiet. The less we learn to slow down and to just stop periodically in our life, I think the harder it is to start stopping. Especially when life is difficult and we have painful things happening. Some of us learn that we can just kind of keep going, keep working, keep producing, even sometimes doing spiritual stuff like going to church, reading your Bible. They can still be distractions from what's going on inside. And so Sabbath is a time to stop, to slow down, and to just feel your feelings, and to just know, to like hear what God might be saying to you through how your body feels, how your emotions are. And on this note, choosing not to participate in Sabbath can lead, and this is mostly born out of my personal experience, in difficulty to experiencing God's presence. I know it sounds really intense, but I can get very distracted throughout my week. It's not that I'm too busy, I'm not too busy, but I can get to Friday and feel like, where did my time with Jesus go? Like I just missed it all week. I was just kind of moving from one thing to the next, kind of mindlessly. And Sabbath is the day where I kind of get back on track and I remember today is about being with God. And finally, in deciding not to take some steps in this practice, it sounds like a no-brainer, but we risk getting tired. Like tired in your bones and in your soul. Sabbath is a time to rest, maybe even if you don't feel really tired. Sometimes we are so tired we can't feel it. We're not maybe physically sleepy or drained. We just need some spiritual, like soul rest. Which makes me think about the words of Jesus in Matthew 11. So this is the scripture we're going to look at just for a little bit tonight. Matthew 11, chapter 28. Did I say chapter 28? I think I meant verse 28. 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many of you might have heard this before, but a yoke was this device that farmers would kind of put on their work animals that would allow them to kind of combine their strength to carry loads and to do agricultural work. I'm not an expert, don't ask me. A teacher, like Jesus, a rabbi, had a yoke, and this was kind of a metaphorical image for their kind of body of information or material, their way of life, and a syllabus, if you will. And in Matthew 23, Jesus accuses the Pharisees of tying up heavy loads for people to follow, referring to their way of life or their kind of way of obeying the law that was difficult or unrealistic and didn't produce like joyful, peaceful lovers of God. Jesus, however, as he says here in Matthew 11, is a gentle and humble teacher. His way of life is light and not burdensome. His way of life brings rest and contentment, not endless striving. And so, putting the concept of Sabbath aside, I just want to ask you guys, if you feel like you in your life right now, are you experiencing Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Are you experiencing living in this light, easy way that Jesus offers here? Or is someone else's yoke on your shoulders and you're just pushing and driving and going and not feeling what Jesus offers here, which is a light burden, a teacher who is gentle and humble, where we can find rest for our souls? I want to read this passage in a paraphrase it's called The Message, another translation of the Bible. So I actually would ask that you guys close your eyes and listen to these words of Matthew 11, 28 through 30 in The Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You can open your eyes. I think that practicing Sabbath one day a week to put down our chores and our to-do and to just be with God and to rest, I think that that is one of the best pathways to this life that Jesus offers here. So if you're feeling like, I hear what you're saying, Jesus, but that's not my experience right now, I think that Sabbath might be the ticket for us. Stop, rest, and delight. The image that I've had in my mind as I've been preparing to talk about this is Mary and Martha. And so if you're familiar with the story in the Bible, Jesus goes to their house and he opens the door and Mary like falls at his feet and begins worshiping him. And Martha is trying to be a good host and like hospitable. And so she's cleaning and preparing dinner and she gets kind of mad at Mary for not helping. And she's like, Jesus, like Mary's just like sitting here. Why isn't she helping me? Jesus tells Martha, she's actually chosen the better way. And I think I can sometimes feel like a Martha. I'm running around and I'm doing what I think is right. I'm going, I'm working, I'm trying to produce, I'm trying to do what I know is right, when maybe it's time to just pause, to stop, to put it down, to sit at Jesus' feet and rest and worship. So, as our communities start this week, we are going to, as little family units, dive into this practice of Sabbath. The idea is that you guys in your communities will discuss and you'll talk about this. You'll talk about this teaching. You'll talk about some other questions and just figure out how to do it together. Talk about your questions. Talk about your reservations. Help each other think it through. Spur each other on. And then try it throughout the week, one day. And if you can't do one day, that's okay. You can just like set aside 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours. Give it a shot and then come back to your community the next week and talk about how it went. What went well, what didn't. That's the plan. And if you would like to dive in a little bit more, again, next week we'll dig in a little bit deeper to the scriptures and what they say about the Sabbath. But I have some kind of recommended resources that I've read that are really helpful. So the first two are books called Garden City and The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. They both deal with the Sabbath in part by John Mark Comer. He's a pastor up in the Portland area. Another one is called Subversive Sabbath by a pastor in the Portland area named A.J. Swoboda. A very, very good book on the Sabbath. And then the next one is Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. We've talked about that here. I would highly recommend that you read that if you haven't yet. But Pete Scazzaro, among many things, deals with the importance of Sabbath in our life with Jesus. It's really helpful. And then if you really want to nerd out, there's a podcast called The Bible Project, and they have a series on this concept, what's called Seventh-day Rest, which is Sabbath. And they have like 14-hour-long episodes that really, they don't dig so much into like, how do you practice the Sabbath practically in your life, but what is the Sabbath, the idea of Sabbath biblically, and it's very, very good, but it's kind of a lot. So those are some resources if you want to dig in a little bit more. But I just want to close and remind us all before we kind of step into a time of worship that the purpose of Sabbath, of resting, isn't just to do another good thing, not an item on our checklist. The purpose is to experience God's presence, to worship Him, and to acknowledge that He's in control and that you can trust Him.